Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In the book of John, chapter number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with Him. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, and verse number 16, the Bible says that the mystery of godliness has been revealed, that God has been manifested in the flesh, that He was justified by the Spirit, seen by angels, that He preached to the Gentiles and believed by the world. I want you to look at that one phrase that's contained in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and also a similar phrase that is found in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 5. The Bible says that God was manifested in the flesh. When you and I look at that word manifested, all that word simply means is that God was revealed to man in the flesh. Now, when you and I understand from John chapter number 1 that in the beginning was the Word, that word is referring to Jesus Christ. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In other words, Christ was with God in the beginning. In the early morning of time, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stood by the Father when He separated the light from darkness. In the early morning of time, Jesus Christ stood side by side with the Father when He separated the land from the water. That He was with the Father side by side when God scooped down and picked up a handful of dirt and made a man. That Jesus Christ was with the Father when He took that rib from the side of man and made a woman and brought her unto the man. And He said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was with the Father when He threw those stars out into open space that they looked like millions of lights, of jetted lights on a cold winter's night. He was with the Father, ladies and gentlemen, when He took that moon and set it out into space, and that golden yellow rose looked like a rose in a sea of diamonds. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was with the Father and was manifested in all of these things. Not only that, but Jesus Christ was manifested to man, that God was revealed in the flesh in the birth of Jesus Christ. I think, ladies and gentlemen, that we may find it quite interesting that in the period of eternity, that in eternity, Jesus Christ rested in the bosom of the Father without a mother. But Jesus Christ, while upon this earth, rested in the bosom of a mother without a father. There has been no birth that ever before or that ever shall occur again that will be as the birth of Jesus Christ and His advent into this world. When you and I look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we think of that little Jewish virgin, that as she went down into the mystery of motherhood, in the land of motherhood, and in the valley of the shadow of death, and birthed Jesus Christ, and when she came up out of that valley, in her arms she held the Savior of the world. When you and I look at the life of Jesus Christ and we recognize that Jesus Christ was born, that He came and dwelt in the flesh for the salvation of man, and we understand that He was manifested to this world, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was and is so great that He revolutionized, my friend, the concept of time. That Jesus Christ was and is so great that our time is divided between B.C. and A.D. And that the very Herods, ladies and gentlemen, who signed His death warrant, dated their letters in the year of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ was and is so great that he revolutionized the world in 3 short years, giving it a new date, a new law, and a new religion. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was and is so great that he, ladies and gentlemen, again revolutionized the empire of death, because he came out forthwith and he had the nail scars in his hand and the slit of that spear in his side. And he broke the bonds of death with greater strength and greater courage, ladies and gentlemen, than Samson when he took the gates of Gaza and tore them down. And that death no longer will be the same thing as a result of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ was and is so great that even the little city and the little area and the little community and the little towns where he dwelt, that he has revolutionized our world, that is referred to. Think about this. Now think about it. You go in, ladies and gentlemen, to the area of Palestine, and you know what it's referred to today? It is referred to, ladies and gentlemen, today as the Holy Land. Jesus Christ was and is so great that he caused the whole concept of an area of people, ladies and gentlemen, who have done nothing but fight for past centuries. And if the earth shall stand for another 100 years, just as there is fighting there, no doubt today, there will be fighting there for 100 years from now. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because of his presence in that area, it is referred to as the Holy Land. Jesus Christ was and is so great that sin no longer has the boundaries that it once had. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and he preached against sin and every evil. He suffered, ladies and gentlemen, at the temptation of the devil. When the devil encouraged him to sin, he was able to overcome that. You and I recognize the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he came to this earth, that he healed the sick, that he preached and prayed from the mountaintop, that he preached and prayed in the synagogue, that he raised the dead, that he healed the sick, that he made the blind to see, that he was able to take the lame and to make them walk again, that he was able to change the lives of individuals who came into contact with him. Our Lord Jesus Christ was and is so great that those who give you tours of the Holy Land, they will take you to a place and they'll say it was in this place that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, that it was in this place that the woman broke the alabaster box upon his head and that she dried his feet with her hair, that it was in this place that they took the roof from the top of the house and let the lame man in and let him walk. Ladies and gentlemen, the world has been revolutionized in the year of 2010 because Jesus Christ lived, died, was resurrected, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says the mystery of godliness has been revealed. That God has been revealed in the flesh. As you and I then look at the life of Jesus Christ, and you come down to the book of Matthew in chapter number 26, we hear a statement that is made by a man by the name of Pilate, and he asked the question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" What then shall I do with Jesus? What then shall I do with this man who has revolutionized the world? What then shall I do with this individual who has revolutionized death? What then shall I do with this man who stood with the Father as he spread the stars out into the universe? What shall I do with this Jesus who was with God when man was made? And you know, it's interesting that Jesus Christ, who made man, became man. That Jesus Christ, who made flesh, became flesh. And so we ask the question, what will you do with Jesus? Let's ask this question to others. What have others done with Jesus? For an example, as you and I survey the New Testament, You and I know from the book of Isaiah chapter number 53, the Bible tells us, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. There is no form nor comeliness." And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The Bible says that he was despised and rejected of men. The Bible says that we rejected him, that we esteemed him not. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. But also in that same chapter of the Old Testament, the Bible makes the declaration that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ manifested in the flesh. Now let's look secondly at this. And that is, what have others done with Jesus? Well, you and I know that he was despised and rejected. And you think about this, ladies and gentlemen, because as you and I look at this, we know that Jesus Christ was spat upon. We know that they placed that crown of thorns upon his head. But we look at men for an example. We see men like Pilate. And he says, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go back here and I'm going to wash my hands of the whole matter." As you and I examine that situation, here was a man who had an opportunity to do something, but he said, "No, I'm just going to wash my hands of this matter." As you and I scan the pages of the New Testament, we find that on one occasion, as the Apostle Paul had preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that old King Agrippa, he said, "Well, here's what I'm going to do with you. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know, almost I'm persuaded. He said, "I want to hear this man Paul, and I want to hear him preach." But what did he do? He said, "Well, I'm not fully persuaded, but almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." When you and I again scan the pages of the book of Acts, go back with me for just a few minutes to the book of Acts chapter number 7. And here is this man by the name of Stephen, as he stood and preached Jesus Christ and the crucifixion that had taken place, and they had crucified him. Peter described it with wicked hands. And what did they do? What is their reaction? The Bible said they stoned Stephen. And so what do we have? You see, Pilate, what did he do? He wiped his hand. He washed his hands of the matter. As you and I look at old King Agrippa, he said, "Well, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian." We look at the folks in the days of Stephen, as recorded in Acts chapter 7, and they said, "We don't like to hear what you're preaching to us," and they stoned him to death. Again, as you and I review the book of Acts, we find on another occasion there was a ruler by the name of Felix. And the Bible says that when it was preached to him of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, what did he say? He said, "You go thy way, and when I have a convenient season, I'll call on you." And so you see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I read the Bible, and we read about Pilate, we read about Agrippa, we read about those in the days of Stephen, we read about this man by the name of Felix. We go to the book of Matthew chapter 26 and we see the mockery that went on. We see the spit that goes from their mouth to the face, the eyes, and the head of Jesus Christ. We see the smack against the cheek of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men that mocked Him, and these men that rejected Him, these men that despised Him, these men that stoned because of Him. Now the third question, thought in this lesson. Number one, the greatness that Jesus Christ was and is so great that He revolutionized the world and revolutionized death. Number two, and that is how others reacted to Jesus Christ when he was upon this earth. Now, number three, what about Larry Acuff? You see, ladies and gentlemen, maybe we ought to get a bracelet that doesn't have WWJD. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I already know what Jesus did. It's very simple. It's very easy. I can turn to the pages of the Holy Word of God and I can... Somebody said, well, what do you think Jesus would do when it comes to a relationship with a friend or a family or a relationship at work? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I know what Jesus would do. All I have to do is just turn to the pages of the Bible and I can begin to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, and I can tell you exactly how Jesus would handle anxiety. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. I know how he handles a marital situation from the pages of the Sermon on the Mount. I know how he handles a relationship with other people, because in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12, as you would that men should do unto you, do you even so unto them. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is not a mystery today what Jesus would do. But should we maybe put on that bracelet? WWYD? What would you do? In the book of Matthew chapter 26, at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, sitting down, they watched Him die. They watched him there. I believe the exact text of that passage. Sitting down, they watched him. So I ask that question today. You see, when I ask that question today, what would you do with Jesus? If Jesus were standing, we sometimes sing this song, Jesus standing in Pilate's hall. And so, ladies and gentlemen, maybe if we brought Jesus Christ literally into this assembly today and we placed Him here at the front of this audience and we see that crown of thorns on His head and we see that robe of robes on His body and we see that reed in His hand. Now we ask the question, how many of us would simply call out, crucify Him, crucify Him. Oh, somebody said, no, I wouldn't do that. Would you? They did. They did after seeing Him walk the steps of Jerusalem and of Nazareth and of that area, and they saw Him raise the dead, and they saw Him heal the sick, and they saw Him cure the blind and the lame, and yet when they saw all that, they backed up and they said, crucify Him, crucify Him. What would you do? And I use that word in reference to each of us. What would you do with Jesus? Now then, back up with me for a second. And let me give you some illustrations out of the Bible of what some folks did as well with Jesus. Go back with me to the book of Acts chapter number 2. And it's the day of Pentecost. It is a feast day, one of three feast days. And on this feast day, all of a sudden, things have shaken up a little bit. In the day of Pentecost, and they've come there to worship, just like you and I today, except under the New Testament pattern and plan, they have all assembled in the city. All these Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, all these people are there. And all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. These folks said, what's going on? Oh, some of them marveled. Some of the people, they were amazed. Oh, there were some mockers there. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you just kind of, if you and I can relate that all of a sudden we're in this assembly today and the Bible is being, and all of a sudden this building started shaking. and the pews started falling to the floor. And the walls and the ceiling and the roof. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So these men stood up, the apostles stood up, and they began to pray. Folks said, they're drunk. They're drunk. Hey, he said, I haven't been hearing him speak his own tongue when he was born. What? Because I can hear this, they're bound to be drunk. Now, doesn't that make sense? But Peter stood up and said, no, no. Hey, man, let me tell you something, man. Even in your day, it ain't time to get drunk. It's just the third hour of the day. Now, I'm going to fast forward this. Peter preached to them. And he said, this Jesus Christ, who was with God when He scooped up dirt and made man, who was with God when He placed that moon that looked like a yellow rose in a sea of diamonds, that Jesus Christ that was with God when He separated the light from the day, that Jesus Christ that was with God when He separated the land from the water, you have crucified. And now, He is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent. Change your life. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. 3,000 of them did. 3,000 of them did. What would you do? You're in that audience. What would you do? The eunuch is going down from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. He's reading out of the Old Testament scriptures, reading in the book of Isaiah, which led the sheep to the slaughter. And Philip said, you understand that? And he said, I absolutely do not. How can I accept somebody to tell me, to guide me? Philip, he said, Philip, come on up here. Philip got up in the chariot and began to preach to him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch said, wait, whoa, whoa, stop. Now this is all in Hebrew. You've got to know Hebrew to get like this. Whoa, stop. Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? Well, he said, let's say the sinner's prayer. We'll bow our heads. We'll put our hands up, bow our heads, and say, God, I believe that You have forgiven me of my sins, and I want You to come into my heart. He didn't do that. There's water. Can I be baptized? Do you believe? Yes. Oh, stop the chariot. They got out of that thing, went down the water. Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. Wow. What would you do? What would you do? You're in the chariot. You're reading the Old Testament. What would you do? Paul and Silas are in jail. They've been preaching too much. They told them not to. They said, oh, okay. Since you tell us not to, we're just going to go on off over here somewhere and we'll kind of have our little secret service. No. They just went out there and preached. On the earlier occasion, Peter and John said, we can't help but preach what we've seen and heard. And so now they're praying and singing. They got their arms and their hands all locked up in here and they can't do anything. They can't move. They've been beaten. So the best thing we can do is just sing and pray. Sing and pray. Whew, all of a sudden there's an earthquake. Jailer said, I better kill myself because if I don't, somebody else will. Paul, wait a minute. Don't do that. Don't do that. We're all here. Nobody's left. We're all here. what must I do? He didn't say, what do you think? What'd be a good idea? No, he said, what must I do to be saved? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He did. They took him that same hour of the night and they baptized him. What would you do? Now we could go on and on, ladies and gentlemen. But you see, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was manifested in the flesh. That Jesus Christ that was with the Father when He severed the light from the day. That Jesus Christ who was with the Father when He scooped up dust and made man. That Jesus Christ that was with the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, that revolutionized the world in 3 years. What will you do with Jesus? The question comes to you, and you must give an answer. If you have not obeyed the gospel, if you have not submitted to the will of Jesus, if you have not given your life to Him in humble obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ in faith and repented of your sins and confessed His name and been baptized for the remission of your sins, then you need to do it right now while together we stand and sing this invitation song.